in the 8th Psalm. So if you have your Bibles handy, you can get those all queued up to go. Let's begin in prayer. Lord God, what a glorious day this day is. A day you have made, and so we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord God, for your word that's before us. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to receive your gospel, the good news, in these words. May then the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Longtime country artist Kris Kristofferson wrote a song entitled, "Why Me, Lord?" If you Google that, Kris Kristofferson and "Why Me, Lord," you'll find that there's a YouTube video of him years ago explaining how he came to write this song. He was in Nashville, as all good country artists are, apparently. And a friend of his took him to a worship service. Now, he admits in the video that he wasn't a religious man at the time. He heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. And the pastor at the service, at the prayer concluding the sermon, asked those who had heard the message of Jesus for the first time to respond by raising their hands if they were to commit themselves to Christ. And Kris says there was no way he was going to do that. And yet, he said he felt his arm going up into the air, as if it was raised by someone else. And then the pastor at the conclusion of the prayer said, "Now those of you who have made a commitment by raising your hand, come forward to the altar and we'll pray for you." Now this, Kris says, absolutely not. And yet, he felt himself getting up out of his seat and coming to the altar rail to receive that prayer and to commit his life to Christ. And so he wrote these words, "Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you or the kindness you've shown?" Have you ever felt that way? About God's love, about God's grace, about God's mercy for you? I have. I think if we're being honest with ourselves, we know, because we know ourselves the best, that we don't deserve anything Christ has done for us or God has given us. That's what the psalmist cries out to the Lord in Psalm 8 about. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. In verses 1 and 2 in Psalm 8, as we read responsively together, the psalmist writes first by glorifying, lifting up the magnificence of the Lord in verse 1. "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger." You hear the majesty ascribed to God by the psalmist here. And I know that you have seen the majesty of the Lord. You cannot live in this world and not see God's majesty. A few weeks ago at spring break, my family and I were camping up at Banks Lake at Steamboat Rock State Park. And it is a glorious place to camp and enjoy the outdoors. And there was some friends that met us up there. And so we were out fishing for walleye on the first evening. And it was sunset, and there was not a stitch of wind. It was perfectly calm, which in itself at Banks Lake is miraculous in April. And I was sitting on the front with the boat owner, who is not a believer. And he said to me, "Wow, Steve, this is why I fish. Because of the beauty all around us." I said, And this is why I serve Christ, because of the beauty all around us. You see how easy it is to evangelize, to remind people of God's faith and His grace and His love in our lives? And I said, look around you. I said, I can't imagine anybody looking at the majesty and magnificence of what we're seeing right now and not believe that God has painted this evening for us. And he said, wow, that's an interesting perspective. But isn't it true? I don't know where you've seen God lately, but I know you have, because you're looking for him. The psalmist says, Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name. Where? Not just in the heavens, but in all the earth. This is God's splendor. And now the psalmist in verse 3 juxtaposes mankind to God. Now, when you put the two together and you analyze them, one comes out woefully insignificant. And do you know which? Verse 3, the psalmist continues, when I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. And here's the question, what then is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings, that you care for them? Isn't that a great question? As we see God's majesty and glory and magnificence around us, I don't know about you, but when I sit under a starry sky and look up at those stars, the billions of them, I think to myself, the same God who placed those stars in the sky knows me as intimately, knows every hair on my head. Now, it's getting easier for God as I get older. Less to count. But the reality is that this magnificent, majestic God loves me and sent his son to die for me. And I ask, who am I, God, but a lowly sinner? I do the things that you ask me not to do. I don't do the things that you require of me, and yet you love me. The psalmist doesn't stop there. The psalmist talks about the majesty of God, the meaninglessness of mankind, and then he talks about the glorious way that those two come together. Verses 5 through 8. You have made them, mankind, us humans. You have made us a little lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor. You have made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have majesty and magnificence. Humankind has meaninglessness and insignificance. And yet, you empower humankind to make a difference in this world and for the next. Look what God has done in spite of us. This afternoon, we're going to recount and remember 70 years of ministry here in Richland. And when we do, we might want to keep Psalm 8 in mind, that the God of the universe, 70 years ago, chose us, Richland Lutheran Church, to have mastery over the name of Christ and the advancement of the kingdom of God here in this place. Think about some of the things God has given over to us. GNMN, boy, it's hard. Good News Media Ministry, TCC, Tri-Cities Chaplaincy, LSC, Lutheran Senior Center. SEC, Shalom Ecumenical Center. Now, listen, we should start saving up for a vowel. That's what I say. We have more initials behind our name than the most educated, and these are just a few of the things that God has done in our history. God more lately has been leading us again out into the community with our Jefferson Tutoring Program, our Bite to Go from the schools for those who are needy, our Habitat Builds, our Block Parties, and you name the rest. We don't have time for me to stand up here and recount God's faithfulness in the last 70 years in and through us in this community. And so it's probably appropriate that we ask the question, why us? Why us, God? It's certainly not because we have deserved God's faithful hand upon us. No, not at all. But it's because God, in his infinite wisdom, chooses us in spite of ourselves and has used us to proclaim his word for 70 years. Kris Kristofferson concludes his song with these words. He says, "Try me, Lord. If you think there's a way I can try to repay all I've taken from you, maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I go through myself on my way back to you." Friends, I would suggest to you that Mr. Kristofferson gets it. That his response to God's grace and mercy and love elicits in him a desire to repay God, which we could never do. But you read in these words that his desire is that he would reach how many? Hundreds, millions, thousands, dozens? No, that he could show someone else, just one. Maybe, Lord, I can show someone else. I think about the just one in my life. And I would encourage you to think about the just one in your life. Can you imagine? I can imagine the member who in this office behind the altar came to know Christ because I happened to be able to say in a way that this member could hear that, no, Jesus isn't on the cross still. He has come down off the cross and was raised from the dead, that he would enter into your heart. And this member said, "I get it." Now, there were seeds sown throughout this person's life for many, many years. But that I had the great gift of God and pleasure of leading this member to Christ, I can imagine in another 70 years that I will be in heaven with this member because God allowed me to share my faith. And I think to myself, it would be worth it. Just one. Just one who hears the good news. Just one who doesn't yet have salvation through Christ Jesus. Just one who hasn't experienced the love and the grace and the mercy of the God of the universe, the magnificent, the majesty. Richland Lutheran Church for 70 years has been communicating Christ to the one. And for 70 years more, my hope and my prayer is that we will continue to preach Christ to one, that they might know and love him. For friends, if that happens, then we can truly proclaim with the psalmist, "Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." Amen. Please stand now as we sing together our hymn.